at this point in a pandemic, in the middle of, you know, national upset about, you know, excessive force, I say be as kind and gentle to yourself as possible. This is not taking the easy way out. It's doing what makes sense. Running harder for the 16 minutes, or I think it's 16 minutes, 16 to 20 minutes out of 60 that's assigned and maintained 2 days a week. If it's going to break you mentally faster than it's going to build you up physically. So think about that on a what do I need to get basis each time you go out the door. Technically, scientifically, does it matter if you're trying to win the Olympics? Yeah, but we're not. We're just trying to stay in the game. We're all in survival mode. And with that, it's not saying we throw everything out the window, but rather knowing what matters most at the beginning of the day, and that's going to be self-care. So if running is beating you up instead of filling your cup, then we probably need to do it a little bit differently.
Hi, I'm Coach MK, founder of the Fitness Protection Program. I'm a run coach, not a life coach. We're never really talking about the running. Running is the tool. It's the conduit we use to examine the world we live in, as well as its impact on our own lives and the lives of the people around us. How we react to certain people and to certain stories tells us a lot about how we view ourselves. I'm committed to the thoughtful, intentional exploration of the importance of running so that no one discounts their own badassery, ever. Final note, this podcast is geared towards every runner who won't lose their home, livelihood, or health insurance if they show up to the corral with a hangover. Not that I'm encouraging you to do that, just saying. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fitness Protection Podcast.
Hi. Sorry to be a little bit late tonight. There's a lot going on and it's all very, very, very exciting. The live stream, I just was on my personal Facebook page, but now I'm here, but I'm a coach at Get Ready for Ask Away with Coach MK. My name is Coach MK Fleming. I'm the founder of the Fitness Protection Program. And this is the segment every week. It's my favorite time of the week, to be honest with you, where I answer questions from all of my clients and all participants in all of my programs and the programs that we have going right now. Tonight, we're going to go through all the weekly wins, counting up and celebrating all the wins for all of the clients in our suite of programs available at the moment. And then I'm going to move through all the questions. And the questions, we're going to start with the Rebuild program. Rebuild was designed for runners who have been not running for a while and are trying to return and rebuild their running habit. That's Rebuild. It's such a program, Build, which is for runners either who are new to working with me or new to running in general. We'll take their questions last. And in the middle, we're going to take questions from participants in our Maintain program. Maintain was designed with runners in mind, specifically people who have a modicum of fitness that they want to maintain and leave as open as many options as humanly possible throughout the year. In Maintain, we give away our race training programs for free, and you'll only need 10 weeks to ramp up for a marathon if you maintain the way that we do. Now, with that, I'm going to pull this open. Sorry to be a little bit behind, but there's big news coming out of Minnesota. It's super exciting and got really distracted. I've been distracted all week long, though. I've been at the protest. So I apologize for not being as available as I usually am. I apologize to my staff, and I appreciate all of you for being so understanding and so supportive while out there doing something that matters more to me than I could possibly explain. And I wouldn't be able to do this at all if it wasn't for your patience and your generosity. And I'm very, very grateful for both as well as your effort. So here we go. And we begin. Let's start with the weekly wins. So here we go. Shar Gore was finally able to start back at the acupuncturist, which really helped her chemo-induced neuropathy and allowed her to get in a nice shuffle yesterday. Congratulations, Shar. I love watching you thrive. I'm so glad that this chapter is behind you, and it's wonderful to see you out and able to move and doing things pain-free again. It's really, really, really a blessing. My win for the week is having given myself permission to take things slowly. Last week, my attorney began divorce proceedings on my behalf, and I'm hopeful of getting to keep the house and refinancing in my name only, as my ex is showing no interest in it, nor ever really having wanted to live in it. There's so much I would like to do to the space, but I am not in a hurry. I don't want to trade one set of stressors for a new set, for example, perfection, speedy changes, and renovations. I'm going to enjoy the extra time at home, as my job can be done almost completely remotely. The extra time I get with my son and the warmth of the sun itself is truly amazing. I think that's wonderful. And I wish everyone would have that. Whenever we create a little space in our life, we're so quick to fill it with something else. Oh, I have time. another commitment, and that's called hustle culture, and it can get a little bit ugly. Sometimes it's just good to have space, embrace the space. I love embracing free space in my calendar. Right now, I tend to fill it with snuggles in bed and popsicles, much to my husband's chagrin, because popsicles in bed is a little bit nasty, and I get that. But it's fun when you're snuggling in that moment with a whole bunch of kids, and it can be a whole lot of fun. That's why we have a whole bunch of kids and a whole bunch of popsicles, basically. So there's that. Congratulations on taking the time to really figure out who you are now as a single mother and a single parent, and as a person who's probably, for the first time in a very long time, catering to yourself first. I hope you find all kinds of ways to do that and finally be true to yourself in a way you've not been allowed to be for a very long time. I don't know your ex. I don't know the situation, but I do know this. Marriage is a whole lot of compromise. I know that my husband is still figuring out who he married. This past week in particular, he might have found out a whole lot of things he didn't know but before for sure. But it's learning to move with each other through it, and sometimes making compromises that you would not otherwise make in order to stay in a certain place. So when we detach from other people, all of those choices that we made that were not in aligned with our own vision of our future can start to add up really quickly. And I'm glad that you're taking time to process it all rather than try to rebuild something that you've not taken the time to think through a little too quickly. That's wonderful. That's amazing. And I'm totally supportive of it. Over in Rebuild, Kristen Fraser had a great appointment with her doctor, who is happy with her progress. Yay, Kristen. Brenda has been working hard to manage her stress this week and got in a good visit with her son. That's wonderful. Brenda's got more stress than most humans, so any day that's good for Brenda is a good day for humanity, as far as I'm concerned. Laura has had a breakthrough and realized her pace doesn't matter as she's getting what she needs. That is true. Your pace doesn't signify anything, especially when you live somewhere hot, like Texas, where the sun literally hurts your skin. I've never forgotten my last trip to Austin was in February 2017, and I stepped outside at 3 p.m. and was like, I felt like I was in an oven and I was kind of going to die. And that is not about like me being weak. It's about that sun being hot. Maybe I'm weak too, but I don't care. Point is this, your pace says nothing about you. The fact that you get out the door and continue to do this in spite of whatever you think that pace may mean does. Yay. Jennifer Sutton is seeing the fruits of her rebuild labor and is able to flirt with the runs and maintain. That's awesome. That really, truly is. And I know that feeling. I know that there's so much pride that comes with, I could do this without stopping. I could do this, period. I could attempt this. I felt strong enough to, there's something to be really said for that. Stay in that moment and really enjoy that moment, because that in and of itself really is a much bigger win than you may be realizing right now, because you're seeing the distance between here and where you want to be, but feeling ready is huge. And maintain. Sarah Seberg, love you, Sarah, had a great long run with her BRS and got some much needed time for her mental and physical health. I know there's been a lot of challenge in that mental health. Oh my goodness. You had a rough go of things recently, Sarah, and I'm so proud of you for still standing. You're still standing. Yeah. Sorry. Nicole Yule got out on her run. Nicole, I know I owe you an email, but it's been a crazy week. I do apologize for that. Calling myself out there. If anyone has emailed me, my email is the pit of despair. I sincerely apologize. This has been a worse week than usual. I will get back to you as soon as I am able. It's just not going to be tonight because we got a party downtown and I got to go get in it. Nicole Yule got out on a run even though she didn't feel like it and was glad she did. Proud of you, Nicole. It is really hard. There are days I can't even pull on my big kid britches. And I know that's reductive because we don't always need to do the thing we're telling ourselves we should do. But boy, if you got out on your run and you didn't feel like it and you felt good afterwards, that is amazing. Yay, you. Erin Harkness did a 4-day backpacking trip this weekend and she was happy that all the running and strength she's been doing was paying off, because she carried her toddler and their gear up and down multiple mountains and her legs still felt good at the end. I think Susan asked me about that a while ago. It's called rucking. How would you feel if I started doing some hikes with a big heavy backpack? You do you, boo. I'm not coming. It sounds like you've been talking to Susan, and everybody knows if you're talking to Susan, you're probably not winning at life. So please be careful about that. If this was just like your decision, Erin, that is absolutely fantastic. I'm all for it, but whew. Speaking of Susan, here she is. She's rooting for Melissa, the person who's getting the divorce and runner interrupted. And yay, Andrew's here too. Yay, Brenda. All right, so a couple more wins. Susan D'Elia's oldest son finally left the nest. So God knows what kind of crazy stuff she's going to be thinking up now that there is no child at home filling her spare time and her brain. She's going to have more spare time to come up with things like wrecking and the Yeti challenge And I can't wait to hear what Chris is going to come out of her mouth next. Because it's probably not going to come out of her mouth to my ears. It'll be through someone else. Well, Susan said, because all great decisions start with, well, Susan said. Korea Terry has been all in with the strength this week. She's feeling the effects. She's a little sore, but she's excited about the progress. You know what? We're all feeling some effects and we're all excited about the progress. I think that is going to be the theme for the week. I was feeling one way this morning. I'm feeling a different way now. It is good. I want you guys to feel good too. Now, moving over, rebuild. Hi, do you have any suggestions for spinal decompression? I might have carried a load on my back and that was quite a bit heavier than I was used to. And now my spine feels stuck and I feel shorted. Oops. And suggestions to help. All right. The first thing I would do, if you have a ball somewhere in your house, like something about soccer ball size that you could deflate roughly 25% and then place it in between your shoulder blades while you lie on the floor. And just that little bit and kind of rolling side to side, that is going to be huge. And it's going to feel really, 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 really good. Do remind me at the end of the broadcast and I'll do a quick video showing that. I know there was one I was going to do for Rebuild. I promise that's going to come tonight. I'm so sorry, or rather for Builders, about tying your shoes and what to think about when it comes to your feet. Again, got distracted with the protests. I do apologize. I'm going to make that tonight while I get my shoes on to go run to the protests. We're taking my children. It's going to be a party. Yay. So there's that. So that is probably the best thing you could possibly do. The next thing is to reach straight up in the air while sitting with a nice locked cage and your sits bones right underneath you. Grab your fingers and lean from side to side. Like, you don't want to go too far. We want to try to keep your booty stationary and we're just twisting, extending this as far as you can. And then the other side too. Because generally speaking, that compression in the spine, you're going to be tempted to go back and forth. And that's the opposite of what you need to do. We need to start with side to side. So we're going to do the side to side. And then we're going to put that squishy ball under the small of your back. And I'll show you guys what that looks like when I get downstairs. Okay. Moving over to maintain and then coming back around to build. Do you think fall races will happen this year, considering the pandemic? No. I don't. I called it back in April, like, guys, these are all going to fall like dominoes. We got to remember, probably part of the reason that this became so explosive, they're the biggest factors. Number one, BLM came into existence in 2017, and it has gotten organized in a really big way. So after 8 weeks of people being indoors, ready to get outside, like, this was already a powder keg ready to go. These protests do not in any way mean that fall races are likely to happen. There's still public safety. It is unrelated to school looking normal in the fall. It won't. I don't know what the new normal is, when it's going to set in or what it's going to look like. But for now, I'm pretty certain the soonest we might see the race would be, my opinion, Sim. And that's the first weekend of December. Anything sooner than that, highly unlikely. Again, I don't know, but I do think all the big ones are going to be canceled. So prepare yourself mentally for that. Go back to listen the last 2 weeks where I've talked about goals without numbers and thinking about what you really need to get out of the fall. There are a whole lot of ways to get it that could be incredibly cool that would not necessarily involve being at a big event. Thank you for doing what you're doing regarding the protests. We see it. Thank you, Nicole. I really appreciate that. I never really intended to be out there talking about this, but then I got to your guest. And then things changed very quickly. And I got to your guest on a run of all things. So I tell you that to tell you this. These are things I don't talk about. It's considered impolite. And the thing that I cannot abide is when I say I'm neither Democrat nor Republican, people assume that means I'm apathetic. I'm anything but. Or even worse, try to drag me into a conversation where they convince me that we believe the same things when we don't, or that I really should be doing what they do because we shouldn't. Again, I think the most vile is, well, I just need to know that you're going to do, which is just, again, it's whataboutism and it's really intellectually bereft and totally stupid, but it's what we do. I just need to know that you're going to be on the right side. F all that. I need to know that, you know, civil liberties matter, that we're looking at the erosion of our free speech right before our eyes. We need to look at what's happening here and compare that to what was happening in 1994. Go listen to the Wind of Change podcast about the psyops and soft power that the United States used to have abroad before we decided on all these excessive uses of force that made us incredibly unpopular abroad and really made that similar types of tactics used on our own people. It really pissed people off here too. So it's a weird thing to talk about, but as a student of history, as someone who's lived in China and Russia, as someone who's grew up drinking the Kool-Aid that the First Amendment was made us different and better than every other country on the planet, to see this happening now has been more than I could take. And what's hardest about it is that if you haven't seen it, you don't want to be told that it's there. See, I'm already losing viewers talking about this now. So it's hard to talk about anything that people aren't receptive to. So I just do my thing. And what do I need to get is the question I ask myself before I start anything that I do. And then I go do and I go get what I needed to get. I've been able to do this work for a really long time without needing to talk about it or show it or process it publicly. Not anymore. So thank you for looking or paying attention and saying anything nice about it. Because of all the things that I've done in my lifetime, this past week, it's been the hardest. So thank you. I do feel seen and I appreciate it. I don't need anyone to agree with me. There are just certain ways I need people to not come at me. And this is the first time I can remember that I have expressed an opinion and people have not come at me like an uninformed child or tried to pivot the conversation to assuring them I'm not going to make some big mistake or something that they consider to be a mistake, which in their eyes means we can't talk anymore, when the only issue I want to talk about is one that most people haven't bothered to Google. So I tell you that to say this. Thank you. I appreciate you. I do feel seen and I do feel appreciated. Thank you, Andrea. I appreciate this. I'm grateful for all of you. I'm so grateful for you. I really, really, really am. So sprained my ankle on Monday, missing the last year of my house. Ouch. And I don't remember having a sprain this bad before. I still have some edema. I can walk around the house easily, but don't have full range of motion for stairs. I now have compression socks and a soft Velcro brace. Any guidance that I can't find on Google? So the first thing is I would go to a PT because you need to know if you have a tear anywhere in there. A sprain isn't just edema. It usually includes some sort of a low-grade tear or damage to a tendon or a ligament. I would go rule that out functionally with a PT. I mean, you can go see your doctor, but doctors don't, correct me if I'm wrong, Andrea, they don't spend a whole lot of time working on soft tissue things. They work about like, you know, saving lives and diagnosing and curing. So for soft tissue and ligament stuff, I'm like, just go straight to the PT and ask those questions. Because if I can't see it, and even if I could, remember, I'm not a medical professional, even though I do stand on the sidelines when tear gas is being thrown, because I do know how to treat that. That was the first aid certification I got a long time ago. But that is completely different and mutually exclusive from actual medical care. So with that in mind, I would absolutely go see someone who does have the proper training and let them look at your ankle, because sprains are actually incredibly complicated. The best thing you can do is stay off it and rest it. But how long and what the blueprint forward would look like is really going to come down to whether or not you have a tear in there in some way. Yeah. Yeah. Doc, help them diagnose soft tissue versus bone and muscle injury. Yeah. It's just that we ask a lot of people to do things they're not trained to do. I'm all about, like, we ask teachers to do things they're not trained to do. We ask police officers to do things they're not trained to do. And we demand that doctors do things they're not trained to do. So I try to relieve that wherever I can with, like, yeah, just go ahead and take it to a PT. Yep. Do what Andrea says. She's a doctor, y'all. If not, it's your sprain versus avulsion. See doctor, determine next step. Susan actually is awesome. You've been at hot springs, best part of soaking tired legs. I'm going to let you two talk amongst yourselves. So I don't get too derailed in making this, which will be transcribed. Sorry, not transcribed. It will be re-released as a podcast later. And I got to get to the party downtown. So since many of us are running at slower, easy effort paces during the hot, humid months, should we also adjust our 10K pace when we're doing the workouts and maintain? If you want to, doesn't matter. Nope, not to me. What matters to me, and there's always a fine line and a balance that we have to find, is that between the psychological and the physiological. Physiologically, is it going to be better? It's really going to be minimal with the amount of hard effort running that we put in here. You're going to stay equally fit. I mean, the difference, I promise you, it is negligible in a recreational runner. Psychologically, though, if it's so hard that you're sucking wind and you don't feel good and it makes you feel I don't know about y'all, but when I go outside right now, it's so hot and gross in Denver, I can't get my rings off. And I'm like, oh, there's my pants and I feel swollen and just don't feel good. Right. So if I'm feeling that when I put my clothes on and go outside to run paces that don't feel good, I'm probably going to finish that workout feeling really bad about myself, really overtired, and not want to go do my run the next day. At this point in a pandemic, in the middle of, you know, national upset about, you know, excessive force, I say be as kind and gentle to yourself as possible. This is not taking the easy way out. It's doing what makes sense. Running harder for the 16 minutes, or I think it's 16 minutes, 16 to 20 minutes out of 60, that's assigned and maintained 2 days a week. If it's going to break you mentally faster, then it's going to build you up physically. So think about that on a what do I need to get basis each time you go out the door. Technically, scientifically, does it matter if you're trying to win the Olympics? Yeah, but we're not. We're just trying to stay in the game. We're all in survival mode. And with that, it's not saying we throw everything out the window, but rather knowing what matters most at the beginning of the day, and that's going to be self-care. So if running is beating you up instead of filling your cup, then we probably need to do it a little bit differently. Yay, I did not mean for that to rhyme, but here we are. I'm on Twitter following Ice-T because he says some really sage things this day and age, and I'm speaking in rhymes most of the time. There, I did it again. You're welcome. Ooh, anyway, heart rate question. I've noticed that if I motivate myself and do the prescribed runs at 5:30 to 6:30 in the morning, I can easily control my heart rate relative to pace. Yes, that's always going to be the case first thing in the morning, before you've read your email, before the day has gotten in the way and told you that you're behind and you need to catch up and you got all the stuff you're doing, you suck. The optimal time of the day is before all that has time to hit your central nervous system and have real stress settle in. However, I'll wait until 10 o'clock, all bets are off. Yeah, especially if you're in the South and it's hot and humid. Some days if I run at noon, I'm practically walking and my garden is reading 160. Yep. I can read Atlas Shrugged in a steady voice. I would love for you to live stream and show us that just for kicks. Is there some physiological difference when running when one first wakes up? Yes, absolutely. So part of it is going to be the heat. You are never going to be impervious to heat. Remember the Rio Olympics? Everything was really slow. This is the slowest Olympics in history. These weren't the least fit people in history. It was hot AF and it was really gross there in Rio. No offense to Rio, just saying. It's not where you want to go to run a marathon in the summertime. You want to go to Rio to do other things in the summertime. Perfectly honest. So with that, you are never going to be impervious to heat or humidity. There's no training plan for that. If there was, our Olympians would have been doing it before they went to Rio. So don't feel bad about anything. I say easy effort pace is totally a vanity metric and you've got to let it go. So if the only time of the day you can get out is noon, go and let go and let God. It's going to be what it's going to be. If that hurts you too much and you're like, I'm walking and I hate this and I hate you. Again, we got to balance the psychological and the physiological, then maybe it's worth it to get out of bed a little bit earlier. Maybe not at 5:30 because that's a little egregiously early, or at least that's what time HRH the baby Violet has decided that she wants to be fed cheese sticks and demands them. Like she comes in my room and demands them. Cheese sticks, mommy, get up. Like, oh my God, are you kidding me? So just saying, if you did that at 6:30, I'd be a lot more receptive to it than I am at 5:30. So if at 5:30, you're feeling the same way about your run and you're just indignant not wanting to do it, cool, try 6:30. It's going to be somewhat better. But if you're trying to force it and it's making you miserable, despite the improved pace, then we need to think about ways to get what you need to get without driving yourself mental in a time when everything else in the world feels like it might be conspiring to harm your mental health. There you go. Yeah, right. That's what I'm talking about. It, like, treadmill is your friend. It is not less than. There's nothing wrong with being on a treadmill. Me personally, if I had room in my house, I would have a treadmill, but I do not. I don't have a closet that fits y'all. I got six kids and a really old house. Oh, I love this old house. Don't get me wrong. Just saying, if you have access to a treadmill, and I hear that some gyms are going to be opening back up, and it's a day that's really hot and it's going to slow you down and you don't feel good and you're not excited, do not rule out the treadmill for any reason. It's a tool and it's better to have it than not. Why in the world would you reject help coming your way? I just say grab it with both hands and don't let go. I did a whole lot of training on treadmill when I lived in Texas. So, hi, I've been paying attention to my feet more lately. Yay, you. And focusing on mobility and practicing silly toes. Yay, win. I noticed I can spread my toes fully on left foot with flexion, but not all on my right foot. Is this due to a particular issue? And is there anything I can do to make it better? No pain. I have chronic lower back issues, but otherwise have no pain, no injuries, etc. I've noticed that when I foam roll, my shin is super tender and not so bad on the left. If that helps. All right. So the two things that come to mind there: one, a lot of these issues originate in our pelvic floor, and unless you had a doctor that was like deliberately sending you to a pelvic floor PT after having a baby, most of us will never go. So I highly recommend, once you're able to go see a pelvic floor PT, if ever you've been pregnant for any period, I mean, even if you haven't kept a pregnancy going longer than 6 to 8 weeks, you still would have had hormonal changes down there that can last. It's really unfair, but unfortunately it's true. So it's worth seeing a pelvic floor PT and kind of looking all the way up and down the chain for those imbalances, because that tends to happen. If it's only presenting on one side, that's the first thing I would go to. Because like that toe mobility tells me more about your hips and your pelvic floor than it does about anything else in between. Second thing is, like, I don't think there's a particular issue with your feet or any other part of you. I think that imbalance could be originating a little bit further up. It's an overcompensation. So if you go directly to a physical therapist, you could spend months in physical therapy to rule everything out before they say maybe your vagina, because that's one of those things that people don't want to talk about, don't want to hear about. I don't like talking about my vagina. You probably don't want to talk about your vagina. But if we go talk about our vagina first and rule that out, then it is over with. And we can go talk about all the other parts of our body, like the shins that might be a little bit soft. And yeah, see, that your Erin says her visit with pelvic floor PT was totally eye-opening, and that is a thing. And yes, way fewer people on the treadmill, you're going to less likely need a mask. But here we go. So pelvic floor PT can be game-changing for people. I still see one, and my baby's almost 2.5. How weird is that? Oh my gosh. Anyway, so that's what I have to say about that. And that might actually have a lot to do with your chronic lower back pain too. So my two cents, they're probably all connected. So start there and then kind of work our way outward and downward. But am I overly worried about it? No, not like you need to stop running right now, but rather, oh, we can fix that. Let's start with the pelvic floor PT and then move to a PT, preferably one who has the OCS certification, who's also licensed for dry needling and manual therapy. If you can get all that in one human, that's the best way to go, because that's the entire toolkit right there. Any advice for those with issues with low back pain? See a physical therapist, and start with the pelvic floor PT, because that lower back pain might be coming from your pelvic floor. Anything with the foam roller that might help. This is an ongoing issue for me, not caused by running, but sometimes affects my running. For sure, I had lower back pain throughout my pregnancy. After the pregnancy, all of mine was coming from my pelvic floor. And I had a disc that was herniating. It was not fully herniated, but it was definitely bulging in my neck and in my lower back. But the combination of pelvic floor PT to strengthen the muscles that were surrounding it, that were causing the dysfunction, that were literally pulling my lower back inward and causing that dysfunction, that together with a strengthening regimen, absolutely, I got rid of the pain and it has not been back since. It's a really uncomfortable visit. I mean, you know what? I'm not going to lie. This past week has been the hardest and most uncomfortable of my life, second only to pelvic floor PT. But again, worth it. Totally worth it. So that's why I'm hesitant with the foam roller, because I feel like anything I suggest on the foam roller, if this is originating in your pelvic floor, anything I tell you can make it worse. Because anything that we do to with the back and forth with the foam roller on your back and on your lower back, that's going to increase laxity in your back. It's going to make it more pliable, more bendy at a time when what we need is less bendy. So the things that we reach for are usually not the answer, and why I would want to start with pelvic floor to make sure that is nice and stable before we do anything else, because that really is the foundation for the rest of your trunk and your body. All right. Yay. So that's it. Maintain. Now moving over to build. If I still have anybody while the men are like, vagina, she said vagina. So come back, man. I'm not going to say that word again, maybe for at least a minute or two. So I completed my first Island Paradise run this week. By the way, if you didn't see the video that I made, the reason that all the references this month were supposed to be for the Wonder Woman movie, which is 1984, Wonder Woman 1984. It was supposed to come out on June the 5th. Instead, it is going to be coming out on August the 14th, which is my parents' anniversary and 2 days after my birthday. And what has been tiding me over between now and then is the Wind of Change podcast. Go listen to it if you haven't heard it yet. If you like Cold War schlock, if you have a degree in Russian that you will never, ever, ever use like I do, and can be a little bit amused by like spy stuff and Cold War espionage, this will be right up your alley. It's like Tiger King, only you won't hate yourself for loving it after, and you will be talking about it for a really long time. There you go. I'm still talking about it weeks after I listened to it. So with that, Island Paradise is my substitute for Wonder Woman 1984 right now. So I completed my first Island Paradise run this week. Remember that Wonder Woman was born on an Island Paradise. How high should you let your heart rate get? Is it okay to walk during the jog intervals if you need more recovery? So when it comes to the Island Paradise run and your heart rate, I don't like seeing heart rates over 180. And that's a personal thing from back when I was getting started with all of this meaning like when I was six and I was in the cardiologist's office, they were like, don't go over 140 unless you have a very good reason. And you need to make sure you're never over 180. That's the red zone. You're not metabolizing any oxygen. And if you're not going to the Olympics, you could be doing more harm than good. So that is kind of the way that I've always looked at it. Anything over 180, I'm like, what are you trying to force? Nothing good really happens up there, especially if you're staying there for more than a few seconds. So it's always okay to walk the jog intervals if you need more recovery. That's fine. There's no such thing as too slow and there's no such thing as too much recovery. My max heart rate got up to 171 near the end and I found I needed to walk more to catch my breath. That's totally normal, to be perfectly honest. At first, your heart rate in those intervals is going to be like here, then a little bit higher, then a little bit higher, then a little bit higher. And that is totally normal. All of this are signs of improved fitness and improved efficiency over time. That's the very definition of fitness. So don't worry that what you're doing is wrong. I love everything I'm hearing right here. I know I need more recovery. Can I go a little bit slower? Because not only do I know that I need recovery, I know how to get it. Is it okay if I go get it? Yes, yes, yes. You're thinking critically and analytically. You're paying attention to your effort. You're paying attention to your body. And I love it. You are winning. That's what we want. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Could you explain the TSS and training peaks? I read about it, but not sure I understand completely. Thanks. That's the training stress score. So we need some sort of a baseline to work with over time. So a training stress score of 100 is about equivalent to a 1 hour easy effort workout in a person. So if you worked out for an hour and your TSS score was 133, that's a fairly hard workout. It's a pretty darn hard workout, as a matter of fact. If your long runs are always going to be off the charts, don't pay any attention to those. But relatively, if I'm looking at that number, if I'm coaching you one-on-one and I'm looking at that number, I'm just looking for outliers. There's no ideal target. Like I expect it to be 100 over time. For the first month that I'm working with the client one-on-one, it's nothing but data collecting because all of these are 43-day rolling averages. And that's really frustrating because clients don't want to pay for a month where I'm not doing anything. But I mean, I am doing something. That's how much data I need before I can do my job well. But people see that as a sunk cost. Like I'm just throwing money away. That's not really true, to tell you the truth. But anyway, I digress. It's one of the reasons I don't do one-on-one training anymore. But I tell you that to tell you this, that TSS is a baseline number. It's mostly for coaches and it gives us an idea, relatively speaking, how hard a given workout was. So if I'm just glancing over the numbers as they roll in, okay, I had a person, I gave him a tempo run. This person's incredibly fit with an efficiency score of 1.3. That's a high level of cardiovascular fitness. So if they're that efficient and their power numbers are actually 7.3, that's really high. What's their TSS? Whoa, 133. That was not an easy effort run. That's much harder than it should have been on their body. I bet they didn't sleep last night or this guy has a hangover. That's it. And then I question myself because after we've established this relationship, I have an idea of why. Before I see the training log, I have an idea of why that workout might have been off. But is it something you guys need to worry about? I say not really because your baseline might be 85. Let's say you're out there for an hour long workout and your TSS is an 85. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, it doesn't mean that you should be working harder. Don't try to take TSS as a diagnostic tool that is assigning value to, oh, this means I need to do, you know, run harder tomorrow. That's not really how it works. It's just a baseline number is how I use it. It's how a lot of one-on-one coaches use it. If you start using it as a diagnostic tool, that's not the number. You got to triangulate and triage a whole lot of numbers to get a clear picture of what you or anyone else is doing at any one point in time. So that's the long and the short of it. My pace seems to consistently be faster on my long runs than my short runs, sometimes faster by more than a minute on the mile. Yep, normal. Does that make sense? Yeah, I mean, honestly, so when it comes to the long runs, I know I usually start them more early. I get to see my friends and I'm probably on my favorite routes. So there's a lot of excitement and happiness about a long run for me that I really look forward to it. And all of those factors do contribute to a more relaxed experience and a lower heart rate. So there are a million reasons why this could be happening. So no, I don't think it's unusual. I certainly don't think it's abnormal. It's consistent with my experience. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But just out of curiosity, think about that run, about the timing of it and what's different about it than all the rest. It could be that you're going into a much more relaxed state than you have any other run during the week, contingent upon your job or your kids or the demands in your household right now. So there's a whole lot. For me, the longer the long run, and I mean, I've always said this, like it's my time. I'm not mom and I'm not someone's manager or someone's boss and people aren't waiting. And I'm not failing somebody in some way by not having had the time to go through my mountain of email or listen to all my voicemail or return all the messages from people that are waiting on things for me. So if I get 3 hours of that in a long run, I'm so excited to just be out and be free on that long run that I'm already like relaxed and excited to be there, but not amped up like I would be in a race situation. So there are a lot of contributing factors, but environmental stressors not being present is undeniably a huge one. And this is why I kind of shifted things around personally before all of this started. And I was doing, you know, Friday was my day off and I was doing my long run sandwich on Saturday, Sunday, so that I got two really great relaxed long runs during, you know, just more bang for the buck out of the weekend. But that's me. You don't have to, just saying. The final question of the night, when I do silly toes, I don't really feel any different after. How do I know if I'm doing them right? And how do I know if I'm sufficiently warmed up to run? This looks like a similar one that we had last week. Yay. So silly toes are subtle. They're there to get your joints lubricated and to fill your bursa sacs with fluid so that it's kind of like filling up the brake pads in your car. It's like putting in brand new brake pads before you go or putting oil in. It's not going to make your car run differently. It's just going to make things run more smoothly in a way that you wouldn't have to notice them. So the silly toes are not warm up for your muscles. So you're not really going to feel that different after doing the silly toes, but it is such a critical part of long-term tendon joint and ligament care that if you get into the good habit of doing them on the days that you don't, you will feel the difference. Yay. And that's not exactly where I want you guys to be like, but if you wanted to test it, do it for a while, then don't do it and see how you feel. Don't do it, expect immediate results and say, I'm not going to do this anymore because I couldn't feel a difference then. You know you're doing them right if you feel absolutely ridiculous and it's awkward AF and you don't see the point. So I would say that you have to ask me this question at all is proof positive that you're absolutely nailing it because they do feel ridiculous. Ask anyone in the free Facebook group, Heart Rate Training, anyone like Aaron or Susan or Andrea, who've been training with me for a while, who can tell you that, yes, silly toes is the most unnatural thing you will ever do. And that's how you know you're doing them correctly. And they're great. And I tell you what, all of you guys are great. Thank you for being here. These are all the questions that we have. You are coached. You are loved. Take some action this week. Or if you've had a really rough week, you know what? Don't take action. Take some self-care. Take a break. But do turn on the news and see what's going on. There are big things happening. They're all exciting. And if you hear words and they scare you instead of excite you, please, please, please ask questions and Google those words and go down a click hole and you are going to learn so much. The world is an exciting place to be right now. And I know it's been a lot and it's been really stressful, but oh my gosh. We're in a moment, you guys. We are in the middle of something huge, a really cool moment. This is what history is. It's history in the making. This is the new civil rights movement. We're going to look back this week with Selma. And don't forget, like the Birmingham bus situation, that the set Freedom Riders, I think they rode for 7 months. Birmingham, the sit-in was 38 days. So if the fact that only this much change is coming after only 14, you are by no means behind. Go get out there, go get active, and get excited about the things that are happening because there's so much to be excited about right now, but nothing is exciting as getting to coach and love each and every one of you right now. Love you, Dr. Lufler. Love everybody. Good night. It's going to be a great night. Go make it as good as it can possibly be, and I'll see you next week.